If you're a listener from the Mouths of Madness podcast, I can only assume that you're also a diehard fan of horror movies like myself. My name is Matt Balea, and I own a company called To Die For. We make custom horror-inspired designs for shirts and much more. From original to exclusive content, we can get you whatever it is your dark heart might desire. Check us out at www.todieforshop.com. That's the number 2, die, the number 4, shop.com. Enjoy the show.
The views and opinions expressed on From the Mouths of Madness are that of the panel and not of the Geeks Under the Influence Network or their sponsors. Listeners, beware.
Yeah, you know, I love it when these traditionally evil monsters or the horror characters and the tropes and all that, like, don't take themselves too seriously and have fun with it, but then it has a 360 and it comes back and takes itself seriously. Like, this movie, what it does with the vampires is pretty cool, because he's fucking funny.
Yeah.
But, like, then you're like, oh shit, it's almost daylight. You know what I mean? So, like, there's other movies that do that in certain realms.
Viciously murder the shit out of you.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also like, oh shit, I need a scooter to get home.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and there's tons of movies that have done that in the past. That's always fun.
Yeah.
And anthologies is a good way to get rid of it. Get away with that, excuse me.
Kind of a newer thing, too, with some horrors, that kind of getting that behind the scenes a little bit of a monster or something where it's like, oh wait, there's also, they have problems too.
There's life.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's the way the movie, What We Do in the Shadows, was that kind of first,
yeah,
in a way of like, yeah, they're vampires, but yeah, they're just as dysfunctional as anybody else.
Exactly. And that so I really appreciate that. And I'm glad that was incorporated in, A, for lividity, and B, it was just, you know, one of the fun segments in the movies we're going to be talking about tonight. Tonight on The Chopping Block, we're going to be talking about 2023's Satanic Hispanics.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Lowdown.
F you, Hunter. What's up, you demon-dildo-wielding bitches? Yeah.
Demon what?
Demon-dildo-wielding bitches.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. Nice. I like that. That's a big dick.
Yeah.
That's a big dick.
And if you're going to kill somebody... Yeah,
then he's a big dick.
Yeah,
yeah. What is like the Theodore Roosevelt?
Carry a big stick. Carry a big dick.
Speak softly. Carry a big
dick. Yeah.
Hey, oh, dude.
That's a shirt.
That's a shirt.
That's
speak
a
softly.
Shirt.
Carry a big dick.
Yeah.
Fucking right. Oh, we need to get our local creators on that one. That's prime.
Fucking right.
All right, but before we dig any more into this film, please ask you like, comment, rate, review, share, subscribe across all the socials, spaces, faces, stuffs, and all that good thingamajig, ticky tacky, whatever.
Hit them like
words.
Buttons.
Likey, likey.
Comedy,
comedy.
Comedy,
comedy. Sherry, sherry. So, I don't know.
We're children now.
Yes. That's what social media resorts adults to children. Is that what we're saying?
Well, we are the Madness Boys.
Yeah. Yes, the Madness Boys. Yes. We need, like, we always say it would be like Vincent Price. It needs to be a Vincent Price intro. Like, we would do, like, the Dukes intro, but
yeah,
really it should be like, oh, today I'm not even gonna try. Never mind.
We're not gonna see this.
No,
all right, god damn it.
I'm not gonna even try.
If there's one thing,
a Vincent Price,
oh,
impression.
Man, just on, yeah, my dying, like, I'm about to, like, they're like, all right, he's about to die. You just walk up and just real quick, you like, look around, see nobody's there. Then you do your Vincent Price impression.
And I'll make sure to
right
quote,
before
I'll make sure
I,
to quote Thriller for,
yeah,
you. So you know it's Vincent Price.
Right before I leave this, yeah, mortal coil. Just stay, and then I just lift my hand up with a thumbs up, and then
you can
just
go.
I'm gone.
You go.
Yeah.
But it's gotta be the words from Thriller.
Yeah.
Then you'll know exactly,
and
it's Vincent Price.
Again, you're gonna clear out, nobody else will be in the room.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's
it'll
fine.
Just be like, you're gonna die.
Well, technically no one else is in the room now.
Nobody else is gonna
see
it.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
but you have to do it where I can't tell anybody.
Yeah. All right. So, all right, fine, Hunter. I promise to give you my shitty Vincent Price impression.
I'm holding you to it.
Okay.
Even though if I die, like, what, you know, you can be like, fuck you, I'm not doing it, bitch. Bye-bye.
That'd be such a dick move, though.
I know.
That'd be such a dick
move. And that's my final thing of, like, asshole, dead. Yep.
Although that would be fitting, too.
Yeah, but, yeah. Yeah.
Well, all right. So, this film came out, I want to say it was over the summer last year. And it had a very limited theatrical release. And I
but
wanted
it did
to
get
go,
a theatrical release.
It did get a theatrical release. I think it was for like a week.
Yeah.
I think it was a Fathom event.
I actually, no. I think it actually had a full week.
Did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I know a couple people saw it different days. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I mean, Fathom does come out for more than one day. Like, right. Winnie the Pooh's out right now. That's got four nights, I think.
Right. But I'm talking about like with like, say, Night of the Devil, where it actually was a full week release.
Yeah. So... But I didn't get a chance to go see it. And I mean, it was a Shudder film, so we knew it was going to hit Shudder. It was just going to be a while. And it finally hit Shudder like earlier this year, January or something. So
I'll be honest, I hadn't done much research. I had no idea it was an anthology until I started watching it.
Well, Murph mentioned that they shared some stuff to the showrunner page, you know, and they actually messaged me just kind of like their opinion on it, so on and so forth. So I had an idea that it was already an anthology, which made me even more intrigued to see it because I love an anthology.
Yeah.
You know, we don't, it has to be a good one though. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see how this one.
It follows the rules.
It does. It's got the overarching story with like four mini stories, you know, in between. I believe it's four. Yeah. And I will say though, the first one I did not like with the fucking Rubik's Cube guy. There's a practical effects scene that's really fucking cool.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't understand what the fuck was
it's a little confusing.
So by him knowing how to solve puzzles very really well because he's like a Rubik's Cube competitor. He apparently knows how to do a light thing that summons demons.
I think it opens because,
opens the door. Yeah,
homeboy. The
you know, that's my dead mom.
By the way, this movie throws a little shade our podcast ways where the girlfriend's like, podcasters, worst scum ever. You gonna talk to a podcaster, you piece of shit?
I'm like, goddamn. Easy.
And then there was a moment where I went, oh. Did Lowdown know about this to have me watch it? Because he falls over and then fixes his fingers by
close up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not.
See, I realized
I hadn't seen the film up to when we talked about doing it,
but
so
I
had no idea.
As you watch, you took joy. Oh, good. He gets the breaks of his bones. Oh, yeah. All right.
That was an unexpected little cherry.
Yeah.
On top. So there's some good practical effects, but other than that, man, it was. And I think what they were trying to say was that. The gateway, the thing that came out looks different to whomever because he thought it was his dead wife, and the one guy thought it was his dead mom, right? They each thought it was somebody else, but it looked like this.
No, it's his dead father. That's what it was. Because she was like, "Why are you trying to send me a photo of what you said was your father? That's like fucked up."
Yeah, it was. Who did that makeup and was you know where was it at? But it's like to the other guy looked like his mom who just died.
But that didn't look like his mom at all.
No,
and the dude's like, "That's not your mom." So I guess whatever person you lost is what you see. But
yeah, well, I think there is like reference to like grief or something with it too. Like I think that becomes some of the dialogue. So maybe that's it. Like people that you're
the thing I got confused with is when he's like, "Okay, this is fucked up," and he does the arms light thing again, and then it takes the podcaster away into or turns him into a pile of goo.
Yeah.
Which I guess transported him to the other side.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Your
guess is as good as mine with that one. So all in all, that one's going to get a...
Yeah.
Eh.
Now the second one...
El Vampiro.
Yeah. That one I was like, all right, let's see what's going on. This is like a almost other version, in my opinion, of what we do in the shadows.
Yeah.
Because it's Halloween. You get into this like restaurant or whatever.
It was like a basement bar. So it was even like more
excluded. And it's just dead bodies everywhere.
Yeah.
And then you see this chick, she's hiding, and she goes up and he grabs her and it's this older dude out of shape.
I know that actor from somewhere too.
Dressed like the most generic fucking Dracula, but he's an actual vampire.
There you go. Yeah. This is one night out of year.
And he almost gets caught, except it's fucking Halloween, where literally the chick almost makes it out up the steps. And he stops her, and then there's this dude walking a dog. He's like, fucking Halloween. God damn it.
That's repetitive throughout the whole fucking story, too. Yeah. Like, that whole segment is like, fucking Halloween. Like, what? Why are you hating, bro? But, like, yeah, so he's out too late, and that was the year that...
Daylight savings. Well, they got confused. It's spring forward in the fall. Well, that doesn't make any sense.
It's spring forward, fall back.
Yeah.
So you gain an hour. Which we actually had in the shittiest year that to possibly have it was 2020. Remember we had daylight savings time on Halloween?
Yeah.
So we could add an extra hour of awesomeness, but guess what?
Nobody could do shit.
Nobody was doing shit.
Yeah.
Fucking waste of goddamn it. Anyway, This was the opposite, where it was. See, that's it was. But see, it was Halloween, so it had to be fall back. So he should have gained an extra hour, right?
Or am I an idiot?
Would I have died?
I think you would have died.
Because if you go, if it's 5 o'clock and you go back and
the sun would come up earlier.
That's right. Yeah. Daylight savings. Oh, I'm a fucking idiot.
But dude, man,
also,
like,
to be fair, I've worked the last 6 days straight, so fuck off everyone listening.
But he talks to his, I guess, what would you call his?
Well, at first it looked like it was like, she almost seems like his wife, but it seems like it was like one of his.
I don't know, he got shitty, and he's like, "You call me master," and then he's like, "I'm sorry about the whole master."
That's what I'm saying. I think he turned her.
Yeah.
But then, like, now he's more like a wife.
Yeah, I mean, she fucking hangs up on him, but she's like, "You dumb motherfucker, you're in town. Mm-hmm. You don't fucking drive. You got fucking 15 minutes till the sun's up," and he starts bumbling to the point where he fucking steals a fucking electric scooter. He's trying to go, like, runs into a bunch of fucking dumbass kids that are nailing with eggs, fucks them up. Then the cops show up.
Yeah. And then, dude, when the cop did, like, tasted the blood. Yeah. He thought it was all props and fake. When he tasted the blood, and he's like, holy shit, what the fuck? This is real. That was awesome. Yeah.
But,
No, that scene, how he keeps, like, bouncing between the mind control.
I enjoyed that, but then it got kind of.
It went too long. It went too long, but it was fun. Like, they just need to cut it like five seconds sooner.
The first time where he like trances one, and then he can only do one at a time, and then trance the other, and the other guy's like, what just happened to me? What the fuck? You're under arrest. And then he does it again. And like every time they like have this realization, they're like, what did you do to me again?
The same thing again. Over. Yeah. So like if they'd have cut 10 seconds probably of that, it would have been like dead on. So yeah, the timing for how long it went was fucked up. Agreed. 100%.
So, but I also appreciate there's a little joke where he, when he kills the chick at the beginning of the segment, he grabs a tied pen to kick.
Like it was his favorite shirt.
Yeah.
It was his favorite shirt. He has the pirate shirt from Seinfeld. Yeah. He has the fucking pirate shirt from Seinfeld.
But I don't want to be a pirate.
Oh, and when he tries to fly, you reminded me of fucking Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yeah.
He's a vampire. He's like, turn to a bat, turn to a bat.
But after he kills the clown kids, then it's just covered. And then he grabs the pen. He's like, oh, no, no.
Fuck it. Yeah. And ultimately,
they hide at a dumpster.
And the light, it doesn't stop the light, and they die.
But I do like that dude, man, that walked his dog from the beginning, goes out to take his trash out, and then sees like these two fucking skeletons. He's like, fucking hell.
Dude, how fucking early is that dude getting up for work?
Well, I mean, you got to think that's probably like 8 or 9 at that point. Like the sun came up, burnt them to crisp. I mean, we're not talking about he showed up right after they burned.
But no, but when he saw him at the bar earlier, it had to be like 5 something.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like how
he's
early
he's a dedicated dog owner.
God damn.
Yeah.
Just fuck. Well, yeah, okay. But yeah, that skit, you know, was more enjoyable. Yeah.
And then I called the next skit the, by the way, we can just throw in there real quick. We're being told these stories by...
Oh, yeah, the overarching story. Yeah.
Because the very beginning of the movie, cops bust in. There's all these dead motherfuckers. There's this little part where there's this dude's in the chair, and his arm comes up with a gun. Cops shoot him. Arm comes up again, and you can see that there's a chain.
Yeah.
And after, I don't know, the cops realize after shooting at this dude over and over again, like 10 times. Wait a second. That arm's a connected something. That's where we get introduced to... I know him best as Pedro from fucking Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, he was in something else, that we know, but...
Crank 2.
Crank, yeah.
Well, Crank and Crank 2. He's been in a couple other things, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's the only survivor, gets back, and so he's being interrogated, and that's where we get these stories.
Yeah, and as the stories unfold, we find out that he has made, like, this pact of some sort because he can heal, he can regenerate.
They bring his mugshot.
But no, remember the hand thing. He tried to cut it. He was handcuffed to the other end of the dead guy that was holding the gun, and he tried to cut his hand off to escape before the cops got him, and he ended up just hacking himself a couple times. But he was completely healed at the police station. So then you find out, they had mugshots from the 70s. Well, remember, like, the disco outfit?
Yeah, because they're like, oh, well, here's a mugshot from him from like 97. He's like, okay. Here's one from like 83, and they're like, wait, he looks the same. Here's one from the disco.
No, what the fuck? Yeah, and before that, he just would have been like killed in America.
But so he starts going into these different tales, but the overall theme is like, I'm not even supposed to be here that long because I'm always running from this fucking demon. So he gets into the third story. The third story is where I think there was two writers, and one writer wanted to make one segment because this dude's running. He's being chased, he gets in the house. You find out he's working for this government agency and doing all this stuff. And then he gets attacked by what I thought were zombies, but they're just weird.
Dirty people
that take him to the woods and then tie him up and then cut his throat and
old lady talking about Mother Earth and stuff. And
what was the whole phone conversation have to do with any of that?
I don't know, man.
Because, again, he gets in his house and he's like, hi, now. And they're like, all right, did you follow the orders? You know, we need to be discreet. The assassination must take.
Yeah.
Didn't fucking matter.
No. Had no zero.
Yeah.
Zero fucks. Yeah, and then it was just like this whole extended dialogue of her turning into a cat?
I don't know.
A wolf? What was that?
It was a cat nose. I know that.
I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I did not like that one at all.
Now I'm going to go to my top one.
Oh, yeah?
Oh,
what's
man.
Your top one?
The Hammer of Zanzibar. Bam.
Of course. Dude, was it the
Dude,
way
it's,
Homeboy?
It's a makeup for Jonah Ray, who is the main character in this.
Yeah, yeah.
From the
Destroy All Neighbors.
Yeah.
Ugh,
I feel much better about him in this one.
But dude, what about like was it him or was it the story about how the dude kept taking the demon in him every night? Like that
God damn it.
Story, dude. He's like, and then he like stopped showing up and then he was really distant and I'm like, oh my, really?
Well, I like the setup. I actually really enjoy this segment because he meets his ex at this Mexican restaurant. They're talking and he's talking about how, you know, we went to this place and did this.
Comes
ritual.
Out she's the demon and then the restaurant goes
but
away.
But I like how he says, like, everybody that was with us is dead except for you and me. And he's like, and I know you're not you. And I know this because this restaurant closed.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just trying to fuck
then
with
it
me.
Just falls away. Yeah.
And so she shows up and she's about to fuck it up. And then he fucking pulls out every gun possible. She's like, fucking bring it. You shoot me with whatever, you know. And then he hits her with something.
What about
she's
the
like,
Evil Dead moment?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where she's just like floating across the restaurant. That shit was awesome. That
I know.
Was fucking fun. Yeah.
My favorite segment.
Yeah.
But like he hits her with something and it actually fucking matters. And then. Almost kind of this almost feel like a Tarantino-ish kind of like one with the way it then backtracks.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get to the story of what did he hit her with?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you get the fucking demon dildo stick. All right.
Oh, God. The Sword of Zanzibar
God
is a giant
it.
Demon dick.
And they go to an artifacts place, and that's where they're talking to the dude. And he's just like, nah, this demon came and visited me. And he visited me again. He wanted to be inside me.
Yeah. I'm like, whoa.
And then he was inside me again. And he goes, and you're like, this sounds like you really wanted this. He's like,
yeah.
And then he got upset because I was like, ask where he was.
And I realized I wasn't the only one. And like, what the fuck? But he proves that it works with another with his friend who's already possessed. I guess he just decided to come out at that moment.
A la another fucking almost Evil Dead moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he just took his head off.
Yeah.
It's fucking sweet.
But yeah, he's got the dildo stick of power and he fucking... fucks up the demon with it. I just really enjoyed this segment.
It was fun. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. And then it had a little cat and mouse with the demon. And then when she stopped looking like the girl and actually had the demon form, that was really cool. But it looked like he was just a mass murderer at the end. That was fucked up.
Yeah. But then
completely
you have the
completely fucked
then
up.
Then they go back to Pedro telling the story and he goes, so I guess he's in jail for it. He's like, no, white dude, bunch of dead Hispanic people.
Gang related. Yeah, it was gang
shooting, right?
Oh, that's the thing. Every story, Pedro brings up about, you remember all those people went missing? And that's the vampire one. Like, there's always a connection from the area that relates to the story he's telling as far as the death. So that's pretty cool.
And they keep also being like, what is this, a gang affiliation? What did you steal this? They're like, he's like, God damn, motherfuckers, because he has this, like, old ass ring.
He's
like,
got a fucking finger in his pocket.
I know.
Come on.
But they're like, who did you rob? He's like, can't a motherfucker have some nice shit?
Yeah, right? So is that his purpose? Like, I got that. I thought that's what they were trying to say at the end of the film with the 90-minute thing when he got pulled over again. Because the whole time during this movie, folks, he's saying, like, at the beginning, he's like, I've got 90 minutes from now. And then he keeps losing time. So he's like, and then all of a sudden, the final demon shows up at the police station. So the traveler, once he gets stopped, he has 90 minutes. Is that what I'm gathering?
Yeah, that's where he kind of gets.
But like,
if he stays still for a period of time, it
catches up with him. But were any of the previous like photos and mugshots they found of him from? And they were in other states, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because like he's in like Texas somewhere, and I'm like, why the fuck aren't you in like Canada? Like,
he might have been at one time.
I don't know. Like, it just seemed like he was just running in the same area.
They do hype up though. They have this like ball, and it's apparently. The wood from like Jesus' cross and then the metal of the nails melted and it could take out like any kind of spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I thought later on he gets the gun that could use it and fucking use it. I was like, oh, that's it. No, I guess you still only have 90 minutes. So even like, with the
special wood nail ball.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are we missing a segment? I feel like that's it. Because the traveler, he told his story.
And then what was the name of the demon that shows up?
Fucking forget.
But he shows up at the police.
Because it's Saint something.
I know.
Right?
It's not
the common one that everyone thinks of. It's like, that's Spanish. This one's Mexican. Like, no, or Colombian.
Yeah.
It's like, that one's a Mexican. This one's Colombian or something. The name was different for the different region.
But he's been there long enough. Demon rolls up in a police station and just hand up.
The double shotgun blast,
that was badass.
The practical effects,
yeah,
especially at the end of this film, holy fuck.
But he doesn't fuck around. He looks at the first cop, puts his hand up, cop pulls a gun out. There's like three suspects that are sitting there.
Because
he's like,
the guy, pop,
kill yourself.
Pedro's like, don't look him in the eyes.
Yep.
And then you saw the guy that was behind the glass in the clerk desk, and he looked him in the eyes, and he shot the dudes that were in the office.
Yep.
Like, every time they look at him in the eye, you know, they go fucking crazy and shoot themselves or somebody else. Yeah, and then he looks like he's wearing like a duster. He looks like he's like,
what's the bad guy from
Clint Eastwood from Unforgiven? What?
Or in Star Wars, the one that has a hat, fucking Book of Boba Fett, if you watch that.
Oh, yeah,
you look
I watched
like
that.
That.
Now, you know, he looks like the fucking mysterious person from Halloween 4, 5, and 6.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like the mysterious guy from
Undertaker,
from the Course of Thorn.
The Creek.
Oh, they end up being Michael's, like, the head of the sanitarium in 6. Remember, it was...
Stop. No, I'll say Undertaker, right?
All right, yeah.
But then eventually they fucking shoot enough off of him, then it reveals kind of statue-ish looking.
Aztec-ish, yeah. Sort of, I guess. Like, I don't know. I don't want to misspeak on it, but it looked cool. It just took a second because I'm like, oh, no, you look like a previous thing that was an abomination, but kind of.
I already was kind of prepared because it was on the cover art, so.
I didn't know if that was going to make an appearance or not. I didn't want to assume.
And that's why I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But but it was like one shot, and then he goes away. Did he say like, "Well, you won this time"? Didn't the demon say
I'll
something?
I'll get you next time.
Didn't the demon say something like that?
I don't think so.
No,
but
okay.
I might have to rewatch that. If there's a Skeletor moment, I want it. I'll get you next time, Pedro.
Just made by Frank Langella.
God damn it!
Langella.
Yeah.
What's that? How do you pronounce his name?
Langella. Yeah.
It was fuck Skeletor from the. 80s.
I was going with the 80s cartoon.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll get you, He-Man.
Yeah. Blasted.
You win this time, Pedro.
You and your blasted bullet. yeah. Then you know he steals a car, and then yeah, apparently shooting the demon. He also like shot him in the fucking chest, like the shoulder.
Shoulder.
What the fuck?
And maybe that's why he fucked up. And he knows he's got to run because I'm pretty
aim
sure.
Aim the fucking gun.
Yeah.
You're not that far from him.
Yeah.
Sorry. Just, I don't know.
Go for the heart. We learned that in an earlier segment.
Go for the heart. Stabby, stabby.
Yeah.
Stabby, stabby, stabby. All right. That's going to wrap it up for this film. We will be right back.
In a world with too many reboots and remakes,
two men will stop at nothing to make it even worse.
Join Mike the Hobbit and Tondi as they play by their own rules while pitching new takes on some of your favorite and least favorite films and TV shows. What podcast would dare to bring this upon the world?
This is Smack My Pitch.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-winged animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
In a world of blockbuster movies, there's another dimension.
The dimension of schlock cinema. Join us at Beautiful Disasters on a journey into the fringe territory of B-movie abandon.
We review the flicks that are forgotten or underappreciated to give them a proper place in the annals of celluloid history.
I'm the Groots.
F you, Hunter.
Your guides at Beautiful Disasters. Come along with us for a fun ride.
May the schlock be with you.
All right, every one of those shows you can find on GIPodcast.com or anywhere you get your podcast. But if you go to GIPodcast.com, you can also go to our links tab and go to click on our link to TeePublic, where all the merch is for all the shows on the network. Tons of stuff. Summer's coming, tank tops.
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of shit. Yeah, you're.
Do they have umbrellas?
Oh, I wish they did.
Yeah, you should.
I wish they did.
Okay,
I wish
they did. It's been raining like a motherfucker.
Yeah, they can get towels. I think.
Get a bunch of towels.
Get a bunch of madness towels.
Ooh, I might have to get a madness towel.
Blacked out? No.
Yeah.
That kind of goes against the idea.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway,
I'll put it in my tote bag.
If you purchase any merch, wear it, post it, tag us. Fuck yeah. We'd love to see that shit. And all right. I enjoy this movie. I do.
Yeah.
It's fun. Some of those segments are fucking awful. Like worse than in some other anthologies. But I would rewatch this in a heartbeat, and I don't know if they're releasing it on a physical copy. So it survives the chopping block for me.
I'd say the same thing. I actually like the main storyline.
The overall story, the Traveler, which basically is the Traveler, yeah.
The interrogation parts, I actually enjoyed. The Rubik's Cube one was confusing, but I wouldn't say that was enough for me to deter it. Mm-mm. The only one that I was just like, is the writer versus writer Woods
fucking
what cat the lady thing.
What the fuck was that?
But the vampire one was really, really fun.
And the Sword of Zanzibar was pretty funny.
Dilda, Demon Dick,
So we're at 3 out of 5 here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I mean. Between,
and the last segment was fun with him.
That's what I'm saying, like the Traveler.
That, like you brought it up, the fucking two cops with the fucking close-up shotgun.
Dude, it was so good. Yeah. It was so good. So, like, yeah, overall, like, I would own this movie. Because it's kind of like even Creepshow, as amazing a movie as it is. Depending on where we watch it, I either watch the Ted Danson one and I don't watch the Roach one, or I, you know, watch the Roach one and skip through the Ted Danson one. I've even skipped through the Jordy Vero one at times.
I mean, that is blasphemous, but there is one that I skip. And it's
better not be the fucking Crate.
No.
Father's Day?
No, I'm saying the one I skip is, you know, the one starring the king himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, just don't care about that one. If it's in the background, just leave it on. But if I'm like, all right, I've got this period of time.
But you would watch the Ted Danson one over Jordy Verrill?
Because of Leslie Nielsen. Because he's such a great prick in that. He's like, hey, how's it going? The water's getting
a little hot. You're going
to fucking die. Yeah. He's enjoying that he's about to murder the shit out of these people.
I hope you can hold your breath.
Yeah. With the Stephen King,
dude, I love that though. He's like, I wonder what they pay for it up at the college. I love that shit, dude. Right. All right, anyway, but no. Overall, this survived the chopping block for me. It was fun. I don't know. I need to look if it's actually you can get a physical copy yet, because I think this movie, if you don't get a physical copy, might go.
Shudder's getting really good with that.
At dropping those,
Randomly enough, whenever I roll up in like Walmart, most of the Shudder releases are getting at least a DVD. Like new release.
That's cool. Yeah. Nice. Okay. So we're both in agreement. Survived. It is currently streaming on Shudder right now, which means if you have Shudder, it's never going to go away. Or if you have AMC Plus or anything that includes Shudder, you always have the streaming version.
I'd put it in recommended anthologies.
Yeah.
So
I would.
Right, it passes.
Yes. Exactly. It is. I would be happy to have this physical copy to add to my collection of anthologies, because there's some that I just will not buy.
Yeah.
Like just at all. I need to look for the mortuary collection too. That's another one we need a hard copy of.
Yeah.
But all right. So folks, check that out. Hit us up at lowdownbrown.gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Did you already see it? Did you see it when it came in theaters? And you lucky fuckers. If not, if you go and see it after you listen to this, just let us know what you think. Did you agree? Did you enjoy the segments that we didn't enjoy? And why? Let us know. And until we talk again, embrace the madness.
Join us us at GUIPodcast.com.